You're listening to WCNO Palm City.
If God and others are the end of my pursuits, then that can be agape. You get it? It is a self. You have to deny yourself.
I've been. Mm-hmm. I spend summers in Vermont. Now in Vermont, okay. The law is, it's a little town called Stowe. It's a
cool.
little ski.
Yeah,
town.
Neat.
Now, if in Vermont, if you step off the curb, you stop.
Okay.
Now, I'm Rhett. I'm on my way, and I'm late to see my dentist. I got to go. Nope. Somebody steps off, and off comes this little old lady.
Yeah.
Then behind her comes a lady pushing a baby.
Yes.
Then another old man. I say, no, Rhett, you're not first.
Yeah.
The pedestrians are first. Mm-hmm. You will stay here and stopped until all the pedestrians
get
are across the street.
There.
You're not first. They are. So that's
simple as that.
So that's birthed the whole thing in me.
Yes.
And I'd like to talk to you about this probably off the air, but I'm working on a book about dignity.
Okay.
Because I realize if we go to the post office, we don't know each other. We're walking into the post office. So I hold the door open for you.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to go in, and dang it, I'm in a rush. But now that guy's going to, not only am I nice to him, but that's nice, but now he's going to be in front of me. Well, that's the sacrifice. And even if you don't thank me, that's not why I'm doing it.
Right.
Because the moment that I dignify you, the law of reciprocity, I immediately dignify myself.
Correct. And you honor your father.
Yes.
And show that you're a son of your father.
And you're happy.
That acts like his heavenly father. And that's the important thing.
I was out somewhere in, not Vegas. It was near Vegas and the town near it. I forget it. Anyway, I don't gamble or anything like that. But so I was out there and I was going into a Walmart and there's a guy standing. As a matter of fact, he looked like, you never know, maybe it was Jesus. He looked like a Jesus with the long hair and the beard and everything. And he was obviously asked begging for money, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, I'm not going to give him money. He might use it for drugs or whatever. Mm-hmm. But as I walked under the doorway, I walked backwards and stuck my head. I said, are you hungry? And he says, yeah. I said, okay, come on, let's go. So we went inside, and they had a restaurant there.
Mm-hmm.
So there I am. We get a cheesesteak sandwich, and we're splitting it.
Nice.
Now I'm making a new friend.
Yes.
And all of a sudden I went, this is great.
Yes.
I don't like to eat alone. I like to break bread with somebody.
Right.
Now I've made a friend. And then I didn't want to give him money, so I had a task for him to do on the headlights of my car, which I was going to do. We bought the stuff we had to buy.
Yeah.
He did it. And then I paid him substantially for doing that.
That's a very good way.
But I didn't rob him of his dignity because I had him do a task.
With just a handout.
Because it does say, if a man does not work, neither shall he eat. It also says a man shall enjoy the fruit of his labor.
Correct.
It's, you know, you can take handouts, but that's why the people out there have been manipulated by the government. We're going to give you a handout. You know what that does? It kills you.
And they descend into,
when into you can buy a hamburger on Friday because you work this week, there's something very tasty. Your taste buds are increased because you earned it.
It's true. Yeah.
And when you put others first, so I'm working on this whole thing, dignity.
Mm-hmm.
My wife doesn't like the word dignity. I may have to find another word, blah, blah, blah.
Those are good illustrations, though. Yeah. And those are life labs. What I'm saying is
a life lab
can be a very small thing, like a guy that you see that needs food and what are you going to do? How are you going to go through that lab? Then when you go back to the scriptures or you go back to the Spirit of the Lord, now you understand better the ways and the... And the mind of the Lord.
This is another crazy story.
Uh-huh.
So now, in the Bible it says, if you tell others what you've done, you've lost your reward. So I'm losing my reward. I don't care. I'll be willing to lose the reward so you out there can listen to this. So it's at night, late at night, and I pull up to the Walmart the shopping place. Not the regular Walmart, but the one with the food.
Oh, yeah, the grocery store.
So I go inside and I get something, and as I'm coming out, there's a man there who has his bicycle, like a homeless guy.
Yeah.
He's taken his radio off his bicycle and put it on top of a garbage pail, and I start talking to him. So anyway, of course, I've noticed this about black people. they call each other like Mr. Rhett. And I said, why do the black people? Because they know what it's like to be poor, and to they honor each other by saying. So now when
and
I see somebody,
dignity.
So I met this man. He was not black, but I met him, and let's say his name is Pete. I said, "Well, Mr. Pete, nice to meet you."
Right.
And I'm Rhett, and blah blah blah. And we're talking, blah blah blah. So anyway, so I give him something, a gift, and I say, "Thank you very much." Mm-hmm. I said it in such a way because I understand he is my vehicle for being blessed, because I actually enjoy, first of all, I enjoy giving to him, but I know my Father sees in heaven will reward me.
Right.
And so I said it in such a way that he almost jumped back and said, what do you mean, thank me? Thank you, you're the one that gave me something. And I drove off, and I'm laughing hilariously because it was so sincere that I knew I was getting as much, if not more, than he was going to get out of my gift to him because I was in pleasing, you know,
and that's the super abundance.
Yeah.
That's the super abundance, because in this world that lies in the power of the evil one, it's all about, you know, lack and famine, and everybody, you know, there's not enough slices of the pie for everybody. But in the kingdom of God, in that relationship with God, it is super abundance.
Imagine? I know of a very wealthy family on the beach here.
Yeah.
They're so wealthy, they have 8 full-time employees. One of them, a doctor told me about this, this lady doctor, and they have one guy just who's hired just to do the silverware every day.
Oh, wow.
Okay. They're that wealthy. But he's miserable. He's drinking himself to
death.
Yeah,
I know.
And doesn't go out of the house. She wants him to go out, but it's a miserable relationship. Imagine if they learned what it would be like to take what they have and say, look, you had the brain power to become a billionaire,
right?
There's enough intelligence on this beach. We have many billionaires up here.
Of course.
But we have very intelligent people who have been very successful. The former guy that ran Apple, he's here, you know. He gives away a lot of money, you know. But learning that, you know, we could feed the world.
Yeah.
There's no need. That I don't know. I say this. I don't even have the right to say this, but between 17 and 30,000 children died of starvation in the world last night.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah, it's crazy.
We have everything it takes to feed them. Can you imagine the joy that guy with all his money sitting there drinking himself to death and reading books all day?
What he could
in
do.
In his mansion.
Yeah.
If he put his brain power to work, the joy, the unspeakable joy you've had, knowing, well, we took all this money and we created an airline that drops the food off or something. I don't know what you do.
Samaritan's Purse does that.
Do they?
Samaritan's Purse is
Billy Graham's son,
and it's a beautiful organization. They help a lot of people.
But there's also this aspect.
Yeah.
When I was going over to a soup kitchen locally and I was feeding people for a while. But the same people showed up all the time. And I said, well, am I just enabling these people? Now, there might be some older people or some people that don't have health. Okay, that's one thing.
Right.
But if you're able-bodied and I'm feeding you, aren't I enabling you the joy?
It could be. Yeah, it could be. I mean, if you can use that thing to make friendship with some of those people and talk about, you know, the importance of them having a direction— You know, but, you know, then you're committing. It's like my glory and the lifter of my head, like in the Jewish tradition, if you lifted somebody's head, you know, whose face was downcast, you were saying to that person, all that I am and all that I have, I'm committing to help you get back on track.
Would they physically put the chin up?
Yeah,
on
and
somebody?
They'd lift, you know,
they would?
The lifter, my glory and the lifter of my head. And God does that for us.
I was feeling down recently. I went to a church, and this man doesn't know it. He came up to me and said, how are you doing? And it was so bad that I said, not really that good.
Yeah.
So I ran into him today. He doesn't realize that made that whole service.
Yes.
That his just being concerned with my well-being was a gift.
Yes.
Of love.
Yes.
And then today running into me and said, how are you doing? I said, oh, much better.
And it started something.
But see that?
Yes.
Yeah, and now I trust him even further, and now he knows that
he might help me. You might be in a little bigger life lab than you thought, you know what I mean, to befriend that guy, if God calls you to do it.
Absolutely.
But there are just to balance all of this, there are false burdens, you know, that people get into where it's not really something appointed by the Holy Spirit. You know what I mean? It's something that's my idea.
Mm.
And, you know, there's some nuances to learning to walk with the Lord, because Really? Well, my dad calls it living with an audience of one, right? And really, I want to just please my father.
That's right.
You get it? And that's all. I can't do everything, but I can try to please my father, and the Holy Spirit is the one who can show me how to do that.
Yeah. This is a lesson I've gotten over the past couple of years. He taught me this. He said, there's no such thing as 1 million. There's only 1 million ones.
Oh, yeah.
So in other words, somebody's out there going, well, I only have a little church, 10 people.
Yeah.
Well, that's what the Lord's given you.
Yeah.
That's a great treasure.
Right.
And then to somebody, well, that guy goes out and preaches to 300,000 people in Uganda or Zimbabwe or wherever. Mm-hmm. You know, you've been to Uganda, I've been to Zimbabwe. You know, it's like, well, that's what they're called to do.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, feed the hungry person that's in front of you.
Yes.
Or nurture spiritually the person who's put before you.
Mm-hmm. And it's called what I call loving mercy. And obviously you have, I mean, I don't know you real well, Rhett. We just met today, but yeah. I can see that you have a gift of mercy.
Do I?
Well, yeah, you talk about it. It's a big deal to you. It's a touchstone.
But see, when you speak it.
Yeah.
See, you just spoke. Now, no one's ever said that to me before.
Yeah.
This is the power we have with each other.
Yes.
Because also, oh, I have the gift of mercy. Oh, I never knew that. What does that mean? What are the ramifications? How can I do it better?
Mm-hmm.
All of a sudden, see, you spoke it into me.
Right.
I had a grandmother told an uncle he was going to go to prison one day as a kid, and he went to prison. We have to be careful
what
with our
say,
mouths.
Yeah, but God loves mercy. And I wrote one of these books about mercy. It's called Loving Mercy, and it's about that. And in Uganda, you know, people struggle, you know, there. And so I would often bring food, you know, and just handing out the window to people. And, you know, I was practicing it. I was practicing showing mercy. It was a lab, a life lab that I was in, because God wanted to birth that nature or instinct or initiative in me that they have, that God has. You got it? Yes. He's wanting to birth that thing in me. That's
regeneration.
That is regeneration.
Regeneration.
It's the gene. It's generous. That, I think, is the crux of this.
The DNA of God. Now, let me ask you this.
And it's not just getting saved and go to heaven.
Now this, listen to this. So the blood of Jesus redeems us, right?
Yes.
So is there a possibility on the day that you're truly born again that your DNA, his DNA, then is in you? Is Jesus' DNA in me?
Yeah.
But it was not before, because he said, make sure you're born from above.
Right.
Tune in again Monday at 3 a.m., 7 a.m., or 3 p.m. I'm your host, Rhett Palmer, and this is A New Day.
We'd like to thank Center for Advanced Eye Care, Dr. Mallon, Center for Advanced Eye Care, with offices in Fort Pierce and in Vero Beach. Thank you for supporting It's a New Day.
Are you tired of trying to rid your home of ants, roaches, and spiders? Have rodents invaded your attic? Are you frustrated paying for service that never really seems to work? Bug Off Pest Control is there to help. After all, whose house is it anyway? With Bug Off, bugs can run, but they can't hide. David and Esther Lunder of Bug Off Pest Control believe in the ministry of WCNO. Licensed and insured, serving Martin and St. Lucie counties. Bug Off Pest Control, a corporate underwriter of WCNO, available at 343-1177.
Every tribe.